The fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. That's where we are today. We went through the first 16 verses, and we saw the impotent man and Jesus healing him without even telling him who he was. So I want to read from verse 17, that's chapter 5, verse 17, on down to 28. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not." No. That's far as I want to go. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for so many blessings we've got. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for Christian fellowship and friends. We thank you for the ability to reach out through the internet and reach other people that are home. And we ask you to bless the preaching and teaching of this word this day. Bless those that hear. And Lord, if some lost people within the sound of our voices, then Lord, help them be saved. Just call upon them, convict them with your Holy Spirit, change their lives, take them to heaven with you when they die. God bless you. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Give us freedom and ease to speak this day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we saw the healing of the impotent man. And he didn't even know who it was that healed him. You know, Jesus didn't announce himself, "Do you believe on Jesus, or you believe on the Son of God?" And he didn't do anything like that. He just walked up to him and said, "Will you be healed? You want to be made whole? Do you really want to get out of this situation?" Can you imagine? 38 years. I can hardly imagine anything more boring, more tiresome, more frustrating than being in a situation like that. And there are some people out there just exactly like it, that they got troubles. At any rate, why, he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now they got into a problem, because as he rises and takes up his bed and he's walking, some of these real strict Judaizers saying, so this is the Sabbath day, you can't carry your bed. He said, "Well, the guy that told me to heal me told me to get up." I think that's pretty good authority. Been 30 years down like that, and a guy comes along and said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." I think I'd rise and take up my bed and walk too, wouldn't you? Anyway, at any rate, it said here they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, you talk about religion and it getting you into all sorts of troubles. Well, I'll tell you what, when you start thinking about picking up sticks on the Sabbath day and you're going to stone somebody and kill them, you know, when you're talking about healing somebody, which of you, it's been asked, if your ox falls in a ditch, won't go and pull it out on the Sabbath day? Well, there are certain things like this. Well, here's a man crippled for 38 years because of his sin. It looks like the way Jesus said, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon me. I don't know how I could get much worse than 38-year punishment, whatever. But at any rate, they want to kill him. Now, there's another reason why they want to kill him. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Wow. Sabbath is the day my Father works, huh? My Father worked hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Wow. Do you know what? They were right. They hit the nail right on the head. When he said, "My Father worketh," he said, "I am the Son of God." Now, I'm going to go back. Those of you can turn to the 20th chapter of John. I want to read another little verse to you, two of them actually. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." I personally believe that John had the copy of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I think he'd seen it. He might even have had it with him. I believe John was written a long time after the other were written. Now, here's the reason why. Look at verse 31. "But these are written," get this clear in your head, "these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." I had a dear man that I loved very much, respected very much. He turned Jesus down. He said, "I don't believe there is a man anywhere that could do what they claim Jesus did." And he went to his grave that way. And you think about that. He's not just a man. He's the God-man. His Father was God. The Virgin Mary was his mother. And she had other children, boys and girls. But she knew where he came from. And the Holy Spirit of God had impregnated her, and she brought forth this child, and he's the Christ, the Messiah, the coming one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's God walking around in the flesh. If you wanted to get a picture of God, when you take a look at him in the Old Testament, say in the first chapter of Genesis and second chapter of Genesis, why, he speaks the word. And the world is there, and the stars are there, and light is there, and darkness is there, and the whole thing. And then he creates all of these animals. And then he puts old Adam to sleep and takes one rib out of Adam. Every man does not have one less rib. The only man that ever got one less rib was Adam. And he made Eve. Now he's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and he loves her. And she's the only one. He didn't have two or three to pick from. He didn't have a little black book with 100 telephone numbers in it. He had one. Man, he got one shot. That was it. But he loved her. And when she sinned, he followed her willfully in her sin. He didn't want her destroyed. He didn't want her separated from him. Well, you can figure out a lot of these things. What we're talking about here is John, when he wrote this book. I think it's the greatest evangelism book in the Bible. John and Romans are two of those that you ought to know backwards and forwards. You ought to be able to use them talking to anybody. You ought to know John and Romans. And they're little books, 22 pages or something like that, or 16 pages. You can read them if you had enough attention. Then maybe you could lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said here, well, the reason why I'm writing this, and I've said it many, many times, I'll keep saying it as long as I have an opportunity to do so, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." He's special. He's special. He's not your average run-of-the-mill kid. He's the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life. Do you realize the greatest thing you've ever known is life? It is. You enjoy chocolate? Life, because you're alive. You can tempt dead people with chocolate. It doesn't do them a bit of good. They're not going to reach up and grab for it. They're not going to eat it. They're not going to put it down. Life. You enjoy everything else because of life. Now, what about eternal life? Wow. Life forever? Life with God forever? Life changed like God forever? That's what we're talking about. When we talk about getting saved, we're not just talking about missing hell. We're talking about God's kind of life. Becoming the children of God ourselves. And to live with God forever in a place without sin. No sorrows, no pain. There's a lot of sorrow and pain and tears in all of our lives. Sometimes it's just the natural result of old age and somebody dies and you can't help but cry. You can't help but wish you could go over and talk to them. Go take them out to eat. Go have a little fellowship and tease them a little bit. Can't do it anymore. No, that's going to be over. Eternal life. Wow. What a tremendous blessing. All right. Think for me just a minute. Jesus Christ is God. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Jesus answered him, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." They're complaining about him working on the Sabbath day. He said, "It's my day to work." "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." Look at verse 21. Power to give life. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." So the Son is like the Father as far as giving life. What it says. Look at verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Look at verse 28. "Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Do you reckon Jesus is God? I believe it says it here. Look at your verse 22 again. "The Father judgeth no man, committed all judgment unto the Son." You notice all the judges you see in the book of Revelation when you're taking a look at that? That's all the time it's Jesus. Jesus is the judge. Right. And you know how he can judge you? He took upon himself human flesh. Right. He lived your life. He was born of a woman, lived as an obedient son to his father and his stepfather and his mother, and had all the temptations you had, but he never fell. He says he's judge of all. Every time you see a judge, that's Jesus. Father said he's committed all judgment unto him. And look at verse 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." You say, "I just worship God. I don't worship Jesus Christ." Ah, you're making a big mistake. You see, there's none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There, you need a mediator. And by the way, Mary is the greatest idol of our century. Jesus Christ is God. Let me tell you something. There is no pope, no priest, not even Peter, that can forgive your sins. Nobody can forgive your sins but God. It takes God to forgive your sins. All right. "He is to be honored, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father." If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either. You may think you've got the Father, but you bypass Jesus Christ. One mediator. One mediator. Not two, not three, not four. One mediator between God and men. You got one way to go. You say, "Well, boy, that's sure a strict thing." It is strict. It really is. It takes a little bit of faith to believe it. But let me tell you what, it's the truth. And that's the way you get saved. You can't walk into the presence of God. You're just too filthy. You know, back when I was a young preacher, I tried quite a bit of fasting for a while, long time, several years. And I really learned something, really did. Never got much good from the fasting that I know of. But I was humbled to realize how weak I am. How weak I am when it comes to denying bread or water or a meal or something like that. You don't know how weak you are until you test yourself. I'll tell you the truth, you better honor the Son. And if you don't honor the Son, that you're not going to be seen by the Father. The only way you get into the Father is through the Son. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now then, verse 26 is another tremendous verse that makes you know who Jesus is. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He's life. He's got life. He's the giver of life. Amen. The life you have right now, while we're sitting in a room here, and I'm up teaching or preaching, whatever you call it. He gave me life. He gave me life. He can give you life. And if you don't have his life, you don't have any life. This little old short life that you're living this time, I'm way past the average, I guess. I'll be 84 in November. And by the grace of God, I'm still driving my car when I can. And I'm still living by myself. Praise the Lord, I don't have to worry about any of you. I don't worry about what you want to watch on TV. I don't worry about what you want me to do. If I want to be dirty, I go dirty. If I decide to wash a dish, I wash a dish. I eat on paper plates. Simple. But I don't wash my paper plates like Dale West. That's all right, Dale. Tell you what, he has life in himself. As God has life in himself so that he can give life to everything that we have on this earth. And by the way, for years and years, I've used a little byword catchphrase, dumb as dirt. Dirt's not dumb. Did you know they were still getting food out of dirt? How many thousands of years has this dirt been supplying us food? You don't eat anything else. The animals you eat, their food came from dirt. What your wife fixed came from dirt. I know you think you're so clean and you got everything around, no spots and all that stuff like that. You're just eating dirt. But it's not dumb. I should say dumb as a fence post. Maybe I can change that up. I don't know that I'll ever get that changed. Anyway. Jesus said, my Father worketh and I work. Do you know who Jesus is? He's God. He's God walking around in a human body. And he's the man, Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Father is not a name. There's a whole lot of fathers. I've been a father 5 times. And I love my kids. They love me. We have a good time. Praise the Lord. Son is not a name. I'm a son, but my name is Lendell Kincaid. But I'm a son. But son's not my name. And when he says, baptized in the name of God, the Son of God, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that's the name. Not just God, not just the great I Am, not just great Jehovah. Let me tell you what. You come to God in Jesus' name or you don't get there. Real simple. Now, is Jesus God? I believe he is. And I believe that's exactly why John was written. You might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Wow. I hope you're alive. I hope you already have eternal life. I hope that you have your sins forgiven and that you're dressed up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus claims to be the Son of God. He has all of these things in these verses right close to it to show you he is the Son of God. Now, in this chapter, there's another division, and it's the two resurrections beginning at verse 28. I'm going to read 28 through 31. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and now, and in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Let me tell you what. There are a lot of poor atheists running around, and some of them are pretty smart fellows. I can't imagine how they can be that smart and be an atheist. You realize some of you are really sharp on computers. I'm not. But I know what DNA is. I remember when I read about it, and it was in the National Geographic, and my wife said, Lyndall, you really want to read this article. And I was fascinated by the DNA in a little cell in my body. And in it was the program for me. Now, you may not like the program God gave me. I sort of like it, okay? I may not like the program God gave you. That's all right. We got 9 billion of us who are the center of the world. Did you know that? Every single one of you, you know, you're the center of the world. The world's all revolving around you. That's an amazing thing. Beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, everybody in the grave is going to come out of the grave. But they're not going to come out at the same time. It says in verse 29, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. There's your two resurrections. We're not all going to be raised at the same time. The book of Revelation gives it to you very clearly. If you'll turn to chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. He'll show you how it's divided up. Revelation is the only real prophecy in the New Testament. Now, there are many prophetical books in the Old Testament, and some of them I get lost in because I don't know all of their wars and things like this and everything, but this right here is pretty plain. Revelation 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. All right, there's four names for one being, anointed cherub that fell. Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. And bound him 1,000 years. Why 1,000 years? It's a period of time and it's going to end. It's called a millennium. Millennium. 1,000 years. Bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Wait, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled? Yeah. He's going in for 1,000 years, then he's going to be turned loose. After that, he must be loose a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, millennium. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, there's two resurrections that John is talking about. Resurrection of life, resurrection of damnation. These first four verses are talking about the first resurrection. It says verse 5, by the way. This is the first resurrection. It's of all the saved. You ever heard the rapture? That when Christ comes to raise all these up, if we're alive at the time, I always wanted to take a big flight like that. All of a sudden, I'm driving down Bandera Road, 22 miles an hour. I lie. I'm sorry, I'm still a speed demon, an old man. But I'm trying to slow my kids down, you know. And all of a sudden, my car has no driver. Why? They blew a trumpet, toot, 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 toot. And a voice said, come up hither. And we went, foo! Somebody got ahead of us by 6 feet. Everybody that was saved that was out at the cemetery. They came up and we go together. And we live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And different things are taught about it in the book of Revelation. And he says, they live, end of verse 4, and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead, that's the other part of the resurrection. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. How clear can that be? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath not power, hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's mentioned again and again. I've had people say that's just an indefinite period of time. Why did he say 6 times 1,000? He used the word 1,000 6 times. You ought to figure out maybe he wanted you to believe it was 1,000. You see, time is not with God like it is with you. He's always in the eternal present. And that's where you're headed. You're not going to be headed where you're going to count 10,000 years. I know some of the songs make it out like that, you know, when 10,000 years are done. I don't know that we'll even count them. It's just life. We just be living and we'll live forever. When 1,000 years are expired, now Satan gets turned loose out from his prison. Go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They were put in 1,000 years previously, and they're still there, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw the great white throne, that's God's throne, him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Not the saved dead. They've already been resurrected. Stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, hey, this is a good day. We're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Second death. That's a bad death. Notice verse 15. Whosoever, I saw that one time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what I did? I said, I can write Lendell Kincaid in that. And I, several times I've written it right over my Bible, Lendell Kincaid, praise God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here is what he's talking about in John chapter 5. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good under the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that that witness that he witnesses of me is true. Talking about John the Baptist. Do you want to be in the first resurrection or the second resurrection? I'll take the first. I'm voting for the first. I'm not taking up a bus today. I'm not trying to get anybody to go along with me today. I don't plan on going today. Now I might. But then again, you might. Why did he teach these things in this fifth chapter of the Gospel of John? That you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you might get life in his name. 63 years ago, I got saved. Boy, I didn't understand any of this. I don't think I'd ever read it. I had a Bible. I don't think I'd ever completed it. I didn't understand a whole lot of things that I understand now. You know what I did? I learned to believe the Bible. You need to learn to believe the Bible. Now, when Verlene and I married, and we had our first baby and then our second baby, we knew nothing about raising children. I was the baby of the baby. Verlene was the baby of the baby. That's the way we were. We didn't have all these little kids going around. I didn't grow up changing diapers. I did some ironing on my mother's ironing board, and there wasn't a spit can on it either. You heard you might be a redneck if there's a spit can on your ironing board. Well, my mother did not chew or dip. But you know what? I found in this book right here something I could believe. Now, I hear a lot of things, and an awful lot of them I don't believe. I read a lot of books in my life. I do a lot of reading. I read a lot of books now. I do like biographies just about better than anything for studying history. I had a college professor years ago that said, if you want to really learn history, read biographies of the period. I tried it out, liked it, and that's exactly what I do. I like to read. But you know what? I don't trust any book I know but this one. Now you're saying you're being awful exclusive. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I don't trust any book written by the finest preacher in the world. We were having a mission conference one time, and one of our missionaries, godly man. He was talking about Jonah, and he said, the Bible never says it's a whale, it's a big fish. And I said, brother, Jesus said it was a whale. When you read in the New Testament, Jesus said it was a whale. They said, well, whales have too small a throat. This is a prepared fish, dummy. God Almighty prepared a fish to give Jonah a little ride. And you know something? When that fish spit old Jonah out on the thing with seaweed hanging all over him, maybe scarred by stomach acid in that stupid whale, poor whale, the whale didn't know what he was doing. He had a message. You know, God didn't want anybody to bring that message but Jonah. Have you ever gotten that fixed? You just better do what God wants you to do. You better realize something. God might just have something he wants you to do. And if you don't do it, you might get yourself in a fix. Now, Jonah thought he could run from God. And so he took off running. And he said, I looked at that. I did not want to preach to them Ninevites. They talk about prejudice. Jonah was prejudiced. But he was also a prophet. He looked forward into the future, and he may have seen exactly what they were going to do to Israel later on, and he did not want to save their nation. But do you know what? The tomb of Jonah was just destroyed here in the last 10 or 15 years by the ISIS destroyed. You know where it was? Nineveh. Jonah never got back. Jonah went there and they had them a prophet, man. I'm going to say, and it's just memory, and I don't trust my memory anymore, but I think Jonah's revival saved the city of Nineveh for 167 years before it was destroyed. Now, he went through preaching a message 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. It's a big, big city. A lot of people didn't know their right hand from their left hand. I suppose that's children. At any rate, there was a revival, and the king, the heathen king, put on sackcloth and ashes and went quietly, humbly. I think they put it on the animals. Wow, what a revival. I used to be an evangelist, and I'd say, I like one like Jonah. Give me a revival like Jonah. Well, let's get the whole city saved. How about that? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Jonah went down there. After he got out of that whale's belly, he said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Is God going to have to put you in a whale's belly to get you where he wants you to go? I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't. I hope you can just go just right along. Bless your hearts. God's got a will. He wants you in his will. That will ought to include giving. It ought to include soul winning. It ought to include studying the Bible. It ought to include memorizing scriptures and talking to your neighbor or to your friends. Do you know there are an awful lot of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ? John wrote a book. He said, here's the purpose of my book. That you might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then believe you might have life in his name. Wow. I've got life. Have you got life? Well, let me tell you what. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in your home and on your own couch or whatever, or riding down the street in a car or whatever. If you know that you're lost, and if you know there's a hell out there waiting for you if you don't get saved, and you act with intelligence and said, I certainly want to be saved, I want life, you can call on Jesus Christ and he'll save your soul and change your life. How did he do it? He died in my place. He died in your place. You can walk into heaven with the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to your account. Wow. Man, once I got this down, I was religious for about 10 years. I made a profession of faith, but I wasn't saved. I got no change. I got no spiritual difference. I didn't change any habits of anything that I was doing. My wife was just a better Christian than I was. We were young marrieds. I just joined her church. Wasn't much different between Methodist and Baptist, but a little water, so I just went ahead and got dunked. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe Jesus. And I did. All my life, I believed Jesus was the Son of God, and he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I believe the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't read it. Are you that way? When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you tried to really learn the Gospel of John? You know, you really ought to learn this because of why it was written and who it was written by. You got one of the greatest writers in the history of the world. Wrote 5 books of this Bible. John, the book of Revelation, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John letters. Wow. Hey, there's another guy you might not hurt you to read. Paul. He killed Christians. He put Christians in prison. By the way, he was probably riding on a donkey. And God knocked him off of it. Paul said, what's happening? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you persecute. God changed his life in one day. Probably the most feared man in his generation, by Christians especially. They didn't want to get around him. Even after he got saved, there were a lot of congregations did not want him coming in. They were afraid of him. He's just coming in to get some more of us to throw into prison. And you know what? God said, I'm going to show him what he'll have to suffer for my sake. And Paul suffered. Paul was left stoned. Paul was beaten with stripes 39 times, 5 times. He got 39 lashes. You know what? He had a scarred back. But he faithfully taught the word of God. And he takes the book of Romans and he just explains salvation and brings you to the place that you get up to chapter 10 and hear such a clear message on how to get saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do I get saved? God takes my sin. I confess I'm a sinner. He takes my sin and he puts it on Jesus. He credits it to Jesus' account. And he takes Jesus' righteousness, not my righteousness. Jesus' righteousness. That's perfection. That is perfection. You can walk into the presence of God with that. You don't have to hold back on anything. And God applies it to my account. So when they punch the computers in heaven, say, Lendell Kincaid, righteous. Amen. I'm not even very good, much less righteous. But in God's eyes, I am. Because Jesus Christ loved me enough to die in my place and to pay my debt. If you're not saved, get saved today. If you're not saved, call on Jesus. By the way, read the Gospel of John and read the book of Romans. Learn them. Somebody says, you like to teach them all the time. Yeah, every 5 or 10 years they need to be taught. Because young people grow up and visitors come in. And there's all those people out there that are listening today. Praise the Lord. I hope it's thousands. That need to be saved. They've got religion, but they don't have salvation. Man, what a difference it makes. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm in the first resurrection. You want to join me? Take Christ as your Savior. Believe this book. There's one book you can trust. Now, you might have to do a little work to understand it. It's not just going to lay over. It's not a funny book. It's not going to lay over and be easy. You might have to study and memorize and learn some things, and you might even have to use a dictionary. Why don't you try it? God bless you today.